Good afternoon. My name is Teferi Sagay. I'm sharing today's presentation is part of one of my doctoral students. Actually, he completed his dissertation. This is part of his dissertation. And I have in the back two of my students also here who are currently doing ediflex measurement on agricultural field. And we are in the process to add one ediflex tower within the next 2 weeks in the city of Huntsville. So we are trying to look at urban ecosystem. And then we just got NSF CREST program, and we are trying to add one ediflex tower also in the Bankhead National Forest. So we are trying to look at ecosystem level carbon work, energy, and whatever they put under different ecosystems. This is part of one of my student presentation. By no means it is not complete work, but I'm trying to show or share some of the research findings. So the title of my presentation is Carbon and Energy Exchange of No-Tilled Soils in the Humid Region of Alabama. And overview of the presentation, introduction, brief objectives, materials and methods, results and discussion, summary and recommendations. So in recent time, agricultural management have all the potential of impacting CO2 exchange and quantitative measurements of the impact of these soils and cropping management practice on net exchange is still lacking, in part because of perceived consensus that agroecosystems are either C-neutral or source. So change in management according to Lal and Almaraz, practices could increase the accumulation of carbon in soils, and furthermore, site-specific factors are also known to increase or decrease the amount of soil carbon. So it is necessary to take some sort of inventories of net ecosystem exchange and to validate the theory that carbon sequestration can be enhanced by changing farming practices such as no-till. In North Alabama, where we are in Huntsville, the last few years, from 1989, I believe, to 2004, there is an increase in acreage of no-till system practice. So in the humid region of North Alabama, this is the first attempt to use ediflex measurement and see what we can observe. So our question and motivations for this study is, what are the magnitudes of carbon sources and sinks potential of no-tillage management systems? And then can we quantify or identify the difference of this exchange during the fallow and cropping seasons? And the third, what are the most important biophysical environmental factors driving both carbon and energy flux? These are the three questions that we are trying to address. Again, a challenge in our area is impacts of tillage, cropping practices on sea stock, is uncertainty, and it's not accurately measured at the local scale, which is a farming level. And then the link between key environmental drivers and CO2, water vapor and energy exchange have not been well explored in managed ecosystems. So there are some uncertainties associated with this type of research. And our objectives, therefore, are to quantify the canopy level, seasonal, and long-term CO2 flux and under winter wheat and soybean canopy, and also to examine the temporal variability of this exchange along the cropping seasons, and understand some of the key environmental factors driving growing season CO2 flux and energy. So these are some of the topics. Again, the study was conducted at the Winfred Thomas Agricultural Research Station. We are located in Hazel Green, Alabama. And we have a micrometeorological station installed actually. In 2002, we installed it, but we actually started doing this experiment in 2006 with one of my graduate students. Again, this is about 34 hectare field within the study site. And we basically utilized a no-till system. This field was under some sort of pasture and things like that, rotation for a while, but we just minimally till the field, but we assume it is going to be minimum or no-till with very minimal soil disturbance. And the typical soil that we are dealing in North Alabama is a Decatur series. This is what we call the Decatur series Tennessee Valley soil type. And this is the system that we have on the OM Fred Thomas Agricultural Research Station. Some of the system description earlier, one of our colleagues here presented. I don't want to duplicate the same thing. Again, we have a CR5000 data logger, three-dimensional sonic anemometer, and then the temperature and humidity probe, and then the LI7500 open pass, air gun. And then with this configuration, basically we measure carbon flux, the energy flux, temperature, humidity, and wind speed, and wind direction. These are the CSAT system. And then the anemometer, the nitridometer, and then we are using the Stevens water monitoring hydra probe for our soil moisture measurement and soil temperature measurement. And then the Kipin and Zonan PAR sensor, as well as the CR5000 data logger. And then we are using the tipping bucket, rainfall measurement, and then the relative humidity and air temperature using the VISAM. And then we are doing also the on-site calibration. That's my graduate student who's actually completed his work, more or less. He's going to be located in Washington, D.C. Actually, he got an offer from Science Engineering Alliance. So he'll be working with the NEON Incorporation work, in Boulder, Colorado also. So the data processing involves with the raw file we start, and then the ADR processing. And options, and then we have some results. Again, most of the is discussed, the process, the math behind it, so I'm not going to go into that aspect. And then the energy budget, again, the net radiation, latent heat, sensible heat, and then the ground heat flux, again, net radiation, the energy balance equation. Most of you are aware about that, so I don't get too much on that. I'll go directly to the results and discussion. Again, we have experienced 2007 was a very dry year. It's a drought year, and it gave us an opportunity to examine actually what is the impact of drought on, carbon and other, energy flux and other things. So a drought year, the soil moisture distribution was in 2007 was very low at 5 centimeter compared to other years. And then the mean monthly mean sonic air temperature, again, this is a distribution. During the summer period, you expect high temperature in 3 years. Again, this is a three-year data. And we are trying to compare, again, bear in mind, this is a comparison of ecosystem carbon exchange, NE, respiration, and gross production among different agroecosystems in the U.S. We use some of the studies in Bonneville, Illinois, Mead, Nebraska, and Rosemont in Minnesota. We are trying just to compare what our results look like with other studies. Again, we looked at wheat, soybean, fallow, and then this is a three-year data. And like I said, in 2007, the wheat wheel field, basically, we have here a negative 80, which is the wheat, and then the annual cumulative NE, and then the soybean is about 42. In the first year in 2007, we gained wheat field. Again, here is as a source, but here as a sink. In 2007, the soybean compared to wheat field, again, this is winter wheat, and then soybean in the summer, basically, and then fallow season. As you see in the fallow season, we are basically source, carbon source, versus, the wheat and soybean. In 2008, when we get plenty of rain, we are mainly carbon is stored in the system. Again, the wheat in 2009, similar, more or less. And respiration, again, this is basically the result for 2007, 2008, 2009. Again, our results more or less similar, it's not that much difference, but what you observe, in other studies. And this is a weekly diurnal variation in daytime and net net ecosystem exchange. Again, each point values represent a 10-day bind average. Negative values indicate CO2 uptake. Again, you'll see a distribution for throughout the three years. This is basically, there is so much variability. And then with this carbon net exchange, 2007 is more or less a drought year, and that's a source to carbon. Again, this is accumulative. But in 2008, 2009, it's like a sink, and the result is represented here. And then the energy budget I'm going to go over. Again, our results is, I mean, findings is very detailed, and dissertation covers quite broad area, and the whole process is, how much time do you have? Oops. And this is, okay, these are the distribution of air temperature, soil temperature, you know, pressure deficit, again, vapor pressure deficit. And then again here, the accumulative rainfall, precipitation, drought year, we have much less than the 2008-2009. Here we try to look at the energy components, again, net reduction, you know, latent energy and others. But what I'm trying to take your attention here, when you compare soybean to winter wheat, always the soybean is by far, the energy flux is more than the winter wheat. And in 2008, also the same thing, but in 2009, except latent energy, in all cases, soybean has more energy related than winter wheat. Again, this is a total ET. When you look at the total ET, except, you know, like now here, if you look at the soybean versus wheat, winter wheat, again, except 2007, in all cases, you know, the winter wheat, you know, ET is more from winter wheat compared to a soybean. And then, again, it's too much information, but I have to rush and finish. You know, this is some of the carbon research findings. You know, the years feature a wide range of variability, again, from 2007, 2008, 2009. In 2007, again, it's a drought year. This is basically what we observe. And then seasonally integrated, any values for soybean were 42, 66, and negative 40 in 2007, 2008, 2009. Again, this is a negative, you know, except 2007, we have a net sink. And then the carbon sink strength for of the winter cover crop was much stronger than soybean with any values of negative 80, negative 80, and negative 40 gram per, you know, suggesting the importance of the cover crops in offsetting higher sea loss of summer crops attributed to higher rates of respiration. Again, cumulative gross ecosystem productivity range were wider for soybean than compared to winter wheat. A significant amount of sea release was observed during the fallow seasons. Again, maybe I didn't mention that. But finally, our results indicate that precipitation and soil moisture were the most important biophysical determinants of carbon balance, especially in a double cropping system and fallow seasons. Also, again, fallow seasons are also a key component when determining the sea source sink strength in managed ecosystems. And water balance, again, in 2007, we have a drier period. Again, we received 5,567 millimeters of rain. And again, the partitioning of available energy into latent and sensibilities was markedly different among the months, years, and seasons. I didn't show you this slide. Except 2009, soybean apportioned more available energy into latent energy. With the exception of winter growing season of 2007, which was smaller, ET of winter cover crop was higher than soybean. Finally, ET during the non-growing months with values of 81 to 97 millimeters suggests that the measure should have been taken to minimize water loss during non-growing seasons. And with that, I'll try to acknowledge this research to my graduate student, Mr. Mahatma Gamramadhan, who he couldn't be here. But I have two of my graduate students here, Mr. Wan Han, sitting in the back, and Mr. Odimari Boye, also he's here. I have to acknowledge those students, very hardworking students. Again, this research is done because of those graduate students, so I give the credit to the graduate students, staff, and faculty. And Dr. Henry Loscher also is, you know, a part of this event, you know, and his research. Staff members at the Winfred Thomas Agricultural Station. Funding, again, we are very fortunate to get all of these funds from NASA, USDA, and RCS. USDA, CSRS use now is NIFA, NOAA, National Weather Service, and the Agricultural Experiment Station. Thank you so much.